Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren Donick and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Chase has the day off as he mourns the loss of his father over the weekend. Great man. Kind soul. Love the show. Love talking to him. Love talking sports with him. He was a great, great guy. Unfortunately, lost his battle with cancer over the weekend, and we are thinking about the McCabe family. We are keeping them in our thoughts today as they go through this rough time. He will be missed for sure, and I know, and we know how close Chase was with his father. He'll probably take tomorrow off as well. He can take off as long as he wants to sort through some things, and we just want him to know that we're thinking about him. Elijah Campbell is manning things at our game studios. Jaguars, thanks, Urban Meyer, for helping me for losing my money line bet or my parlay bet. Thanks. Coach Herb said today that wide receiver Chenault is going to miss some time. Guess he's got a shoulder injury. But we'll see how long. He's a guy that's important to them. And also their tight end has a high ankle sprain, and he's going to be out for a while. Like it really matters, because when they had those guys in, they couldn't win against Denver. It's going to be a long season for the Jags. But remember, he remains dedicated to turning that organization around and not taking the USC job, which, by the way, USC responded. Weren't they down 14-0? And then they came back and just waxed Washington State.
With a backup quarterback.
Yeah. But weren't they down 14-0 in that game?
Correct, yeah.
And they won, what, 42-14?
Yeah, I think it scored either 35 or 42 on answers. It was 35 when I quit watching, so they might have scored after that. But, yeah, they definitely responded pretty well after going down two touchdowns and losing your starting quarterback.
Yeah, so pretty interesting. Okay, so, Elijah, I'm going to let you tell everybody what we're going to do here, and let's get at it.
All right, before we turn it over to Elijah, and keep the music going. Darren, you remember back in the day, with the late, great Nick Hunter, we had a segment in baseball called Zingers. I would throw the zingers at you guys, you, Nick, George, and we would have a blast. So this is the same idea. We started this last week. We didn't coin it Zingers, but Elijah has come up with some topics. So this is something.
Where Nick hatched his impersonation of you?
Oh, yeah. It was.
During Zingers?
It was. And so who knows what fun is around the corner. And we also, it's reminiscent of the old Chase McCabe mailbag that he would throw with the 3D. Remember that on a Monday?
Absolutely, yes.
So The idea is snappy, quick answers, fun banter. You know, it'll be better when Chase rejoins us. But Elijah has come up with these items, these zingers from the action yesterday in the NFL.
Yeah, NFL zingers or Elijah's examinations. I don't know. There's a lot we can work with here that we've definitely thought of. But we'll go ahead and start number one with the game that Darren didn't finish that ended up being one of the best games of the week, and that was Ravens and Chiefs. Finally lives up to the hype. Ravens pull off a huge win after a disappointing loss to the Raiders on Monday Night Football. Which leads me to this. Has Lamar Jackson proved to you guys that he can make the Ravens contenders despite all the injuries they've sustained before the season even started?
Well, this is what I know on that.
Wait a minute. That was earlier.
Sure. We did already have that today, but I'm going to extend it for this.
Okay.
If you are a running back wearing a Ravens jersey and you're on the same team with Lamar Jackson, you should be able to get some yards. Like, it doesn't matter who the guys are. Like, they picked up Latavius Murray off the street. Guy looks pretty good. They're still getting the rushing yards just because Jackson is such an amazing runner. And how good do you have to be to beat the Chiefs after your first series you throw a pick six? They beat the Chiefs after spotting them 7 points with a pick six. Jackson, he makes mistakes, but I'm feeling a little bit better about my Ravens pick now because he's just so tough to stop. They're going to be a factor. I don't know. There's a lot going on there, but that was a huge win.
It was 7-0 before you could blink an eye. You're right. How about that jump pass by him? Was that a little Tim Tebow-esque?
A little bit.
For a touchdown?
Tim Tebow on steroids, because that ball traveled like 15, 20 yards.
That's true. That's right. Tim Tebow's jump pass was usually, what, 2 yards?
Goal
That's
line.
A good point. Tavius Murray looked good, huh? 9 carries, 36 yards. I mean, okay. The answer to the question is it really doesn't matter. You're right. Because he's so dynamic, and he rushed for over 100 yards. Here's the problem that I have, and I know he's better than Daniel Jones. He is. He's flat out better than Daniel Jones. Now, this just in.
He kind of won the MVP.
Not the earth-shattering statement of the year.
Yeah.
But you don't want your quarterback constantly leading you in rushing. And Daniel Jones continues to be the leading rusher for the Giants year after year. And that seems to be his strength. And then after that, there's not much to like. Like I said, Lamar Jackson brings a lot more to the table, but do you really want Lamar Jackson leading you in rushing and rushing attempts every week?
You
got
to do what you got to do to win. The guy is an incredible runner.
Yeah, but aren't you playing with fire if your franchise quarterback is leading
I'm willing to
in
play
rushing
with that fire.
Attempts and yards?
I think you just got to light the fire. It's your best chance. It's
then
your best
why
chance.
Why would you be worried about backing Derrick Henry down then?
I just think it's the best way for them to win.
Well, so is running Derrick Henry.
I know.
Too.
I think I'm slowly coming to grips with that too.
I didn't pick them. We know I did not pick the Ravens to get into the playoffs this year, and I felt really good because right after we made those picks, like they lost like 4 running backs and Marcus Peters.
Yes,
and I was like,
they
okay.
Did. And
all right.
Jackson has made some really bad throws. Like, what is he doing kind of throws? On the pick six, the guy fell. That's one thing. But he also has some throws in the game going, what is he doing? What kind of throw is that? But if you live with that, we're going to see how much he can elevate him. So the Ravens are an intriguing team.
Yeah, and the other thing is Hollywood Brown, who I had last year in fantasy, and I thought he was a dud. I was so mad at him. I went into this year with all my drafts, and I was like, I'm not taking him. He has had a really good start to the season.
Pretty
solid.
Looks
pretty darn good.
All right, number 2. So the Chargers, the Saints, Eagles, and Dolphins all lose in week 2 after impressive week 1 wins. So I'm going to make this the inaugural Dennis Green Award. Which one of these teams that I mentioned, Chargers, Saints, Eagles, and Dolphins, would Denny Green say?
But they are who we thought they were.
Okay, so give it one more time. I want to write these down again.
All right, so the Chargers. Who lost against the Cowboys
on the last play of the game.
Another one-score game, which, by the way, the Chargers are 8-17 in one-score games since 2019. The Saints, who got smacked by Sam Darnold. The Eagles, who, after looking like world beaters on offense against the helpless Falcons team in week 1, could not score against San Francisco despite all the red zone trips. And then the Dolphins, who got shut out at home against the Bills, a Tua Tagovailoa once again leaving a game early due to injury.
Okay. You want me to start this
one? Yes, you start this one.
So who is the Dennis Green of this group?
But they are who we thought they were.
And he was talking about the Bears on Monday Night Football when they lost a tough one to the Bears. Dub Bears. The Chargers, no strangers to close games, right? Guess what they did yesterday? Lost a close game again, but that's not my answer. Eagles. Tell you what, Jalen Hurts, you guys know, model citizen, great teammate, great guy, root for him. I have questioned the whole time whether he could be an every week quarterback in the NFL. He's better than what I've expected. He's got to be better, though. He did have a long touchdown pass yesterday that was impressive. That's not my answer. The Dolphins don't have Tua. You know, he leaves early in that game with ribs. If he's out for a while, I don't know. Dolphins, they could be your answer, but the answer, Elijah, unfortunately, is your team. The Aints. I mean, the Saints. Excuse me, the Saints, not the Aints. But they may be the Aints. Because here's the thing. When I watch them again, the ghost of interceptions has not left Jameis Winston. It's not left. Okay. Yes, he had the 5 touchdowns the week before, but my goodness, he made a throw yesterday as I'm watching the red zone, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And Bruce Arians, I'm sure, screamed, see, that's what I had to deal with for that entire year. Why can't he make better decisions? The minute he threw that ball, I was like, no, and it gets picked.
I cringed so hard.
He cannot get out of that. Do not make that throw. I don't know why at this point in his career he still cannot get out of that phase of do not make that throw, Jameis. And he did it again. And he got picked. And it's like, man, he has not learned. He's not going to change. So the answer, I believe it was a one-week tease.
Okay.
The Saints are destined for to be like an 8-9 team.
I'm going to go with the Eagles for the Dennis Green Award. And it's not so
much.
They are
who we thought they were.
I'm not going to go with Jalen Hurts as the focal point of it. I just think there are limitations with a lot of their roster. I like their offensive line and defensive line, but I just think they're just not going to be able to go grab a game with big explosive plays enough, and their defense isn't quite good enough to overcome it. So I think the Eagles are shaping up the way I thought they were, like Dennis Green says. On to zinger number 3.
Zinger number 3. We talked about it right before the break of the last segment. Kyler Murray throws for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, a human joystick at quarterback. He's incredible. Could this be the beginning of a legitimate MVP campaign?
Ooh, I know what Darren's answer is going to be. MVP is a stretch. But, man, this is what I wonder. The Kyler Murray reminds me a little bit of the early Patrick Mahomes, in which he's throwing a lot of balls that you are trained not to throw, running one way, throwing back the other. And I think Kyler Murray is seeing this. He sees Patrick Mahomes having success. He's like, you know what? I can do that. I have the same kind of skill set. I have the arm. I have the vision. But right now, Murray has not cut down the mistakes enough to tell me he's an MVP yet. Mahomes, it amazes me how few times he makes just the dumb throw. Last night, he finally threw an interception, his first ever September interception ever. Murray still, if you notice, he still turns the ball over some, but spectacular highlights, he's got it. So I'm going to say no.
You know my answer.
You love him.
What's not to
love? You
love
Kyler. He turns the ball over.
He turns the ball over, so does Brett Favre. So did Brett Favre his whole career.
Yeah, that's true.
What does that mean? I mean, was Brett Favre going to go down as one of the greatest ever? Yes. Am I saying Kyler Murray's going to go down as one of the greatest ever? No. But until he got hurt last year.
We're talking MVP, though. The question was MVP. In that division against the Rams defense a couple times, the 49ers defense, I'm not seeing it.
You know who was my fantasy quarterback last year?
Well, yes, I do.
Do you know who my fantasy quarterback was this year?
Yes, I know.
Kyler Murray.
I know.
You know why? Because he's really good. I love him.
But, Darren, this is not fantasy. The question was, will he win the league MVP?
And
he's going to get a lot of points for your fantasy team. I get it.
Until
but that's not the same
last
question.
Last year, was I not on this show talking about Kyler Murray for MVP? Last year until he got hurt? The answer is yes.
Okay. All right.
Last year, I was saying, this guy is right in the thick of MVP talk. And then he got hurt, and he was never the same.
All right. Number 4.
So the answer is yes.
The Raiders, with another impressive win. They take down the Ravens and the Steelers with Derek Carr throwing for 817 yards through the air in 2 games. How seriously should we take the Raiders?
The Raiders. All right, Darren, you're up first.
Well, I mean, if you would have had the Raiders in your Dennis Green category, I'm just not buying yet. I'm sorry. I don't buy John Gruden as a coach. I don't buy Derek Carr can keep this up. Look, it's a nice start. It is. Those are 2 really good wins. They beat the Ravens on Monday Night Football, and they went into Pittsburgh, and I watched a lot of the game. They're just the better team. They were. Which, by the way, had me questioning why I picked the Steelers to go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They did not look very good. Ben Roethlisberger, man, looks old. You know why? Because he is old and slow. No, I'm not buying yet. I'm out.
On this one, I agree with you, Darren. I'm not buying yet. I think they're going to be right around that 9-8, 8-9, trying to sneak in as the last team. I just think the AFC is too deep. I'm not buying in to the Raiders yet. But, you know, that it dawns on me. Like, all these draft, like Henry Ruggs and some of these guys. Ruggs, he looks pretty good. Kenyon Drake, like these guys, they're young. They haven't blossomed yet. But if it all comes together, that's what John Gruden had in mind trying to acquire all these draft picks. They were kind of getting some heat for not turning a lot of these picks into good players. It does look like it's coming along some, but I'm still in a wait-and-see mode. Do we have another?
We have one more.
We got one more zinger. Oh,
this is an interesting one that I have not seen anybody talk about in NFL media circles. It's the Bengals. They passed up on Penei Sewell for Ja'Marr Chase in the draft. Sewell, who already had one nice game with the Niners, was the consensus best offensive lineman in the draft. Well, the Bengals have already given up 9 sacks of Joe Burrow after these first 2 games. Do you think they're second-guessing themselves? And do you think Joe Burrow physically survives the season if he's getting hit at this rate?
Oof. I think we all were in the wait and see. Hey, Bengals should be better. Like what Burrow's doing. But I think I'm going to lean to yes on that. I do think that Joe Mixon is not enough of a game changer to take some pressure off. I think they're going to have to throw to win. I love the targets that they're throwing to. But, no, I don't think they're going to protect him, and I worry about Joe Burrow's health going forward.
I worry tremendously. He reminds me of Derek's brother, David Carr. They better figure this out, or his career is going to be marred by injuries. It just is, and it's never going to
– And it's also the, are you going to start feeling pressure even when it's not there?
Yeah.
Because it's like David Carr was – The assumption he was dropping back with the assumption that I've got to get rid of this ball every time because I have no offensive line.
Yep, and I think they're going down a really, really dangerous path. I think they've got something in Joe Burrow, but they better figure out how to protect him or they're going to really mess this kid up. So, yeah, I'm concerned.
There it is.
Good
your
zingers.
Your NFL zingers.
Darren, I thought that was a rousing success. And when we finally get everybody back in the saddle, unlike the first 2 weeks, I think this is going to go to a new level.
You think?
Oh, okay. Man.
I like it.
This is good.
Why don't you tell everybody about the Preds?
Well, the Preds are in the midst of the rookie tournament. They are 0-2 so far. Some very high-scoring games that have happened. Philip Tomasino, though, is looking very very good, and he is a guy to watch when training camp gets cranking here in a couple of days. They've got another rookie game tomorrow. But what they want you to know is hockey is back. We're back on close to the regular calendar here, starting with 6 home games in the month of October. So be there for the season opener against the Kraken on October the 14th. October games include a couple of Saturday nights in Smashville as well, with a couple of Eastern Conference opponents like, oh yes, a very familiar group of guys from Carolina, the Hurricanes, and Barry Trotz and the Islanders are coming in October as well. So jump on in. Get in on the 6 home games in October and give them a call at, well, actually just go online. NashvillePredators.com/tickets is the easy way to go. But you can call 615-770-7800 if you want to use your phone device. But all kinds of stuff is going on. Remember, gold games will only be available for a purchase for fans who reside in the Nashville Predators television viewing area through single-game ticket sales and ticket package purchases. So that's something you want to keep in mind for all of these games. But we want you today just to think about October. There's a lot of home games early on. You're going to want to be in on that. So get more information by going to Ticketmaster.com or join the Loyal Legion by going to NashvillePredators.com/tickets. And we will see you in Smashville.
Did you see on the broadcast yesterday them showing the Seattle Kraken arena?
Say that again.
Did you see yesterday on the broadcast where they were showing the Seattle Kraken?
Yeah. I was thinking about the Kraken a lot watching that game. Seattle's got great fans. You give them something to cheer about, they will bring it. I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch this year.
You think their crowds will be just as crazy as their soccer team?
It's a good question. I think
team.
Yes. I think yes. I think they're going to buy in.
Yeah, it's hard to know, though, right? I mean, but they are a very good sports market, but how do you really know how that market's going to respond to hockey?
I think they've sold the tickets, so I feel like they're going to be there.
The season's sold out?
The newness. Well, they had to sell them just to get the team.
Yeah, I mean, okay, first year, not going to really. How's year – you know, tell me about years three
well, that's,
and four.
Well, that's the real question because I think every team the first year is going to have that enthusiasm. Yeah. Now, what will be interesting is because Vegas was so good, like if they're not in contention for the playoffs and they're like a normal expansion team, a traditional expansion team that should struggle for a while, that'll be interesting to see if like, hey, what's wrong? Why aren't these guys – going for the playoffs. Vegas did it. Why couldn't we do it? That will be interesting.
Come on. There's no struggles with new franchises anymore.
You're handed a great team. Come on.
What are you talking about? By the way, a good friend of ours, Adam on the text line, Willie and Elijah, was not happy with me talking about the Saints. He does not agree with my answer.
He's a believer in Jameis.
Adam, new father, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor Arlo, born into a world without Drew Brees being the Saints quarterback.
I mean, you guys saw the interception, right? It's just like, what do you? It's
yeah,
like Jameis.
That was a bleep at someone in Saints uniforms down there somewhere. Throw, and there was, but there was just three players.
Yeah,
that
there
were
was three
not
guys
Saints
in front
uniforms.
Of him. Yeah, that kind of. prevented that ball getting there. It was the three defenders in front of him that kind of stopped that ball getting to the receiver. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I watched that and fell out of my chair. I think I blacked out a little bit. I don't remember much of the rest of the game from that point on.
How about the Cowboys? They could be easily 2-0. Could very well. Right? That was a nice win yesterday. I did not think they were going to beat the Chargers. I really didn't. Although – what are we talking about? Chargers close loss. I mean,
yeah,
gosh, who could have ever seen that coming?
And if in the grand scheme of the AFC, that's probably a good thing for the Titans, because you want pathways to get into the playoffs. You want if you don't win the division, you want that pathway to get in as a wild card, which I actually have. And so losses like that by the Chargers are a good check mark. Because that's one, it's a good win for the Cowboys, but at the same time, the Chargers have to be going, come on, are you kidding me? We can't beat the Cowboys at home? Really? They went up and down the field and just end up with, what, 17? How many points did they end up with?
17. But
17 points?
They actually scored a touchdown in that last,
twice.
Last drive. Yeah, twice, yeah.
Come on.
Called back because of penalties.
It's just, if it's not one thing, it's another with them. They've seen that so many times. There's a lot of baggage.
Okay, so let's get back. Something, believe it or not, I don't know why. I guess it was easy to get lost in the shuffle. There's a lot to talk about. But so much we talked about last week with the kicking situation. Have they found their kicker? Have they found the kicker? Is Randy Bullock the kicker?
Okay, let's take it a step further, because we know the answer this week is yes. He did a great job.
He's bought himself a week, for sure.
No question, but here is the question. Because this is what benefited Randy Bullock, is you can jump in and be a kicker for a team and just not have to make any kicks. But he had to kick a lot. Kicked a lot. I mean, he missed one, but he got in there and got some action. So he's got a lot of street cred, especially comparatively speaking. But what happens when Ficken, who was dead letter perfect in the competition, won the job, what happens when he comes off of IR? Is it the, hey, sorry, we've got a guy now? Or is it the old traditional, you don't lose your job because of injury?
Let's pause that. We're gonna talk about that. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think Scott and Franklin has got another question that we can talk about when we'll come back to the question you just posed. Scott, welcome in.
Hey, I wanted to take a time out to talk about the horrendous state of SEC officiating.
Okay.
Specifically the Mississippi State game and the Auburn game, which were just inexcusable. You know, Mississippi State, everyone I think has seen, you know, the punt that was downed at the one, the back judge came in to mark the ball dead and they let Memphis pick it up and run it back, and you know, the SEC office has already said they blew that.
Yep.
And they also blew the fact that there was, you know, illegal participation. There was two guys wearing the same number on Memphis.
Two guys, two number fours.
Yep.
There were two number fours.
And then, but nobody is talking about, you know, the Mississippi State gets the ball back, scores, they've still got time, they kick an onside kick. They blow the call and say that they didn't recover or they touched it within 10 yards. They go to replay and overturn that, but call a penalty on the replay that wasn't called on the field, which I didn't think you could do that.
I didn't see that. Is that what happened? I didn't know you could do that either.
Yeah.
I thought you just flat out could not do that.
They called it an illegal block for blocking someone before the ball was touched, but it was not called on the field, and you know, let Memphis recover the onside kick. But that's not near as bad as Auburn Penn State, which, you know, there were a lot of questionable calls early in the game, a phantom grounding on Penn State, but you know, the calls just got worse and worse as the game went on, you know, culminating in just a crap show at the end. But the targeting is the worst thing, you know. Auburn losing their best player and all, you know, first team all SEC linebacker. Penn State has the ball. The guy is not down. He's lunging toward the goal. He's about to stretch his arm out and put the ball over the goal. And he comes in and makes shoulder to shoulder contact to prevent him from scoring. And he's ejected for targeting. And it's first and goal instead of third or fourth and goal. I'm assuming you guys saw that.
We have lost common sense on targeting. I'm all for targeting and
I was going to say
headshots.
you just set off a cord for Darren. One of his themes for the season.
We've just lost common sense on this rule.
Even worse than that,
it's ridiculous.
They missed after that a safety. You know, Noah Cain was tackled in the end zone. They ruled he'd gotten the ball out. There's a still shot from the pylon cam that the TV and the league office uses that shows his knee down and the ball is directly over the goal line. The nose is out. The back of the ball is in the end zone. And by rule, that's a safety. I don't know why they can't use still shots on review. I mean, because it was clearly a safety. They missed that, then they get the, you know, that was right after the non-PI call where, you know, you don't want to bail somebody out on a bad call, but the cornerback tackles the wide receiver by the shoulder pads, and there's no PI, but then Penn State gets a PI call later for incidental contact, and the whole idea is you can mug someone if you're looking at the ball. But you can't brush up against them if you're not looking at the ball. That makes no sense to me either.
Well, there was a lot of those borderline ones in the Vanderbilt-Stanford game. Yep. I was at that game, so I didn't watch the Auburn-Penn State game. You know what's funny, Scott, is you've mentioned several questionable calls in that game, but you have failed to mention the one that made the headlines that's still on the ticker today is Penn State had a punt because they got the down wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, but you have to blame James Franklin for that. There's no one making you punt on third. You've got an entire sideline of assistants and graduate assistants, and all you got to do is stop the game and say, hey, it's third down, it's not fourth down.
Yeah, well, he did.
No one forces you to punt.
I'm looking at James Franklin's quote. I talked to all of the officials. They said, look, they agreed on the call, and so did the replay official. They all agreed. I kept bringing them over and saying, it's not accurate. I don't know what else I can tell them.
It didn't go to replay, it wasn't a replay review. But yeah, there again, the point is, I mean, just terrible officiating all around, but just total gutlessness, too, in the replay booth. Total gutlessness to get a call right. That's what really burns me up. In the Mississippi State game, I mean, the SEC office said it should have been reviewed and it should have been overturned. I mean, the targeting call, that's nowhere near targeting. That's nowhere near the intent of targeting.
The targeting is going to be a thing all year long, I think. And I said it early. I think next year the rule will be modified. I think there will be different
modifications. Who's going to lead that charge? I hope you're right. But who's going to lead that charge?
You can't change it in the middle of the season, I don't think.
But who's going to be proactive to do that?
I just think there'll be enough coaches that get together and say we've got to do something.
Well, coaches? Is it the coach's decision?
There's competition committees and things like that where you discuss rule changes.
In the NFL, but is there in college?
Sure. Some
coaches committee to go in there to change rules? In the NFL, there is.
I think there's got to be a system where how else would you change rules? There's got to be some way to do it.
Well, I mean,
they get the feedback of coaches somewhere.
All those smart people running the NCAA. Willie, all those really incredible people with common sense running the NCAA. That's who does it. I mean, I hope you're right.
I believe it will.
Who's going to get in there? When do they ever do something that makes sense? I mean, it's out of control. Like, update it. Like, okay, we get it. Now everybody understands you can't lead with your head. Helmet to helmet is no good. We get it. All that stuff. Safety is vitally important. We get all that. Everybody has figured that out by now. Now it's time to refine. It's time to mold that clay just a little bit. It's out of whack, man. You are taking important players out of games. By the way, this has been going on for years. This is not
right, and it was necessary. I think it was right
here at the Music City Bowl. The Kentucky player, it was ridiculous.
Yes, I think at the beginning it was correct because we had to change the way people defend. Now I think they've made their point, and we need to modify.
Now let's go back in a room and look. Let's modify it. Let's fix. This is not the intent of the rule. Like, it's way out of whack. Like, you're stuck. Like, there's just certain things. Like, you can look. Use some common sense. That is not the intent of the rule. Like, you cannot. And it just happens every single week. By the way, he had a whole list of things. By the way, if you literally did that all weekend and just took notes, I mean, you could spend a whole show
on screwed up calls.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. Who is responsible on the officiating team to make sure that there aren't two guys wearing the same uniform? I've always thought that it's the dumbest thing ever to have this thing. You can have two guys on the same team in the same number. You have 99 numbers. I don't see why this. I know, hey, recruiting, hey, yeah, you want to wear number 4. That's cool. I got a guy on. I guess that's the reason. Like, okay, I really want this guy. I want to promise him he can have his number he had in high school or something. Like, come on. There's no reason. They just need to outlaw the rule. One guy, one number. But in college, we got to have a guy on number 5 on offense and a number 5 on defense because it's a really cool number. I don't get it. Just wear number 67 and be done with it, okay?
That's another thing, by the way.
But who's responsible? The ref has got to look at all 11 guys and make sure on every play there aren't two guys with the same number. I can see how that can happen and be overlooked. But it is interesting how you had that way to prevent Memphis from scoring a touchdown and the other one where the guy is – by rule, the guy is allowed to pick it up and go. But the guy was signaling, hey, I got an end of the play here. So that's where they messed up. Crazy play.
But that was a special teams play though, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a punt.
Right, but I mean, the only time you would ever be checking that is a special teams play.
You should on special teams because – that's where you're supposed to have one guy on offense, one guy on defense.
Yep.
So how many times as an announcer gotten the wrong guy because you take your flip card and you see two guys on the flip card? Who made the tackle? Which guy?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
Get rid of that rule. One guy, one number. Please.
And it's been going
for all
for
announcers'
a long time.
Sake. For the announcers across America so they can survive and not give the wrong name out. It's not that hard. You can have a guy with a different number. You can live with it. If you don't have the number you had in high school.
I used to do in-house press box PA for the Music City Bowl, and that would happen
it stinks.
All the time. Like, it's like, oh, you see them, both guys out there in the same play. And it's like, well, which one was it?
Especially on special teams. Special teams is when you get caught.
Am I supposed to announce? Because I don't know which six it was.
Sorry, sir. I have not watched every game your team has played this year. I don't know all of the guys on your team, the 98 people on your team.
Yeah.
I don't like that rule.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. Boy, opened up a can right there.
Yes, that we sure did. And we got to get back to Ficken.
Yeah, we got to get back on the other side. But you're going to tell everybody first about Lone Pronto.
I can do that. Lone Pronto, we know that if you live in this area, your home values are very high. Plus, the mortgage rates have taken a nosedive. You put those two things together, you got a great chance to take advantage and lock in that lower house payment with Lone Pronto right now. If you call Lone Pronto today, you can take advantage of this super popular zero-cost refi program. Get a rate with an APR in the low twos with no junk fees and no closing costs. Yes, they pay the closing costs. We're not talking roll them in secretly, that kind of thing. We're talking no closing costs. They pay them. Lone Pronto's all-digital process, too, is fast and easy. Virtually no paperwork. Most loans get closed in 14 days. That is a streamlined process that I can appreciate because I have gone through refis in the past that take a lot longer than that. So if you act now, you could even skip your next couple of house payments. How does that sound for your fall budget? Call Lone Pronto now and find out how you can start saving money and help yourself. 615-499-5780, 615-499-5780, or lonepronto.com. If your current mortgage rate starts with a 3, you need to act now. 615-499-5780 or lonepronto.com. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.
Hey, if you're going to be out in the Mount Juliet area tonight, we'll have a presence there. The game will be there. Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet, 613 South Mount Juliet Road for Monday Night Football. You can come by there and watch the game, grab some swag, have a chance for you to win tickets to an upcoming Vanderbilt football game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products curated for life. By the way, I'll be joining Ryan Porth tonight during Preds Insiders during the 6 o'clock hour. He will also be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. So keep that in mind tonight.
All right.
During the 6 o'clock hour, as preseason is about to get cranked up starting this weekend, this Sunday. A little double dip. A little double dip to get things going.
Yep. Rookie tournament going on. They got one more game tomorrow. I have not seen the games, but apparently defense has been a problem. But they have scored some goals. Tomasino has scored in both games. So that's a good sign that he continues to be. I can remember Philip Forsberg really shining in the rookie camp the year that he busted out when he was about the same age. Fingers crossed. We'll see. We don't want to hype up too much Tomasino, but I think he's got a chance. He's got a chance.
You don't want to get that hype train rolling down the tracks?
No, I don't think it's fair to overhype him, but I think at some point, this is what I heard Kara Hammer and Brooks Bratton on the podcast. They talked to Carl Taylor. They're like, he said he is going to play in this league for a long time, but I just don't know when he's going to start having the success. But
you know where
there's
stand.
No question he is going to get there.
I'm ready to see him now.
Okay. I know you're ready, but sometimes these things take time. We'll see.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. I can reassess and say, okay, he's not ready yet.
Yeah.
But I want to see him now.
Okay. Let's watch him in training camp. That's the next thing. But he's passed all the tests. The prospect camp and then this rookie camp, he's clearly playing above the level of the other guys there, which is a good sign.
You asked the question, Sam Ficken, when he is ready to come back. What if it's sooner rather than later?
At some point, he's going to come off of IR.
Yeah. So what if in a couple weeks he's ready to rock and roll?
And let's say as part of the hypothetical we're going to talk about here, that Mr. Bullock does nothing to screw it up. Because as we say often, you know, if he has some bad games and Ficken comes off the DL or the IL, IR, then it's an easy decision, right? It's a no-brainer. But I'm talking about a scenario where Bullock keeps doing the job, and then the guy who won the job, who's done nothing to lose the job, comes off IR. That's the difficult decision, and that might happen in a couple weeks. So what do you do? I can tell you that I think I would just have to bite the bullet and ride the hot hand, that I would have to tell Mr. Ficken that I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to go on the practice squad. That's my thought, but you tell me what you think. What would you do?
Well, bite the bullet. Look, the biggest fallacy going out there is that you don't lose your job.
Okay, so like, so the old school, but this is something that's been talked about for decades, right? You can't lose your job. You shouldn't lose your job to injury.
Yeah, but you can and you will. I mean, it stinks, but what do you yes, the answer is.
But he was perfect. Ficken
never
missed.
If Randy Bullock keeps kicking field goals and making them and extra points, he's going to be the kicker, and Sam Ficken will not be, period. I mean, this whole fallacy, oh, you can't lose your job. Yes, you can. It's happened many, many, many times in sports over the years. And so I don't know why we keep using that phrase. You can't lose your job when you're injured to an injury. Yes,
all right, so
can.
let's tweak it for one more scenario. That Bullock does look a little shaky. It's not a clear cut he should lose the job, but if he's shaky, would that then, because I do think there's a scenario where this becomes a very tough decision.
It's not a tough
decision. Where it's a let's make a deal. Like, which
so
door?
Randy
door number
Bullock
one,
starts,
door number two.
No, it's not. The only way it's a tough decision is if Randy Bullock starts missing a lot, and then that's over.
But missing a lot, yes, but missing a little. Like, he did miss one yesterday. It wasn't perfect. So if he's not perfect, but he's good, like, I do think there could be some gray area where you have a tough call.
Hey. If we're having that discussion after last week's discussion about
kickers. Do you doubt it? I mean, this is Titans kickers we're talking about.
No,
here.
I know, but that means things are going in the right direction. If we're having to, like, oh my gosh, tough choices. Which one should it be, Ficken or Bullock?
Ficken or Bullock. How did we get here?
That'll do it for our – do you have a canoe, by the way, I can borrow?
Oh, man.
Seriously, we're, like, underwater. We've taken on a lot
issues.
Of rain. A lot of rain. All right, that will do it for our show today. In all seriousness, be careful and cognizant and aware of the rain and the standing water if you're out and about, because we have taken on heap loads of rain in the last 48 to 72 hours.
We average 9.6 more rain per year, inches of rain per year than Seattle. That was pointed out yesterday. More
really?
Trash talking by Nashville Severe Weather, which is a great follow on Twitter. So trash talking Seattle, we even get more rain than Seattle.
Stay dry, be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.